I want to take just a couple of minutes to highlight a couple of things that I forgot in talking about VBS. And once again, I just thank you for those of you. I know everybody can't help. Many of you have obligations that kept you from helping, and we totally understand that. But I was just looking at the staff of VBS this year and how that it went from, there were several men that worked here during VBS all week long. That was wonderful. We had some college students returning to help us out, and that was fantastic. Of course, the youth. The youth is such a vital, vital ministry workhorse for our church. And youth, you guys did fantastic. And then, of course, the rest of you who served, and for our leader, Amy, and others of you that really gave it a lot. And at the end of the week, of course, we were tired. I did get an interesting call this week from one of our deacons, Mark Masterson, and he called me and he said, well, I don't know hardly how to say this, but one of your vacation Bible school helpers was found drunk and unable to walk or hardly speak. And I thought, oh, as a pastor, that hurts. I know it happens, but what do I do? Then he starts laughing, and it was Vicky, of course. And the rest of the story is Vicky, his wife, fell this week in our VBS and had to have a hip replaced and broke her arm, required surgery on both sides of her arm. So please put her in your prayers as well. And that's just funny right there. But anyway, what a great time it was, and we just praise God for it. One other little footnote on that, and then we'll move to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. You know, we had this contest this week, the guys against the girls, on raising money for our well, Sergey's Well, as the kids came to know it. And so every day we would look at the tally and who won this week. Well, the girls won. Well, the guys won. Well, the girls won. And then the girls won again. And then us guys, we thought, well, we're going to end this thing, and the guys are going to win. I mean, I had two of my grandsons here, and I was pretty well committed to do whatever it took to make sure the guys won. So Friday, I go to our executive assistant, our administrative assistant, and I look at her, and I say, Paige, where are we? How much do we need? And I want to ensure that the boys will win. And she looks at the figures and she says, oh, definitely the guys are ahead. The guys, they're going to win. She looks at me. And I'm the pastor. And so I come to the pulpit excited to tell the boys and girls. And of course the guys were all here, and I say, guys, we did it. And of course, you know, you can imagine what happened. And then I hear from the background, just a minute. And Paige, otherwise known as Sarah, that's her new name. You'll understand there in the sermon. But she comes down and she says, basically, no, the girls didn't win. Or the guys didn't win. The girls did. And I'm looking at my figure thinking, okay, what happened? Well, what happened was two of the dads that had girls in the VBS found out about this. They started pulling money out of their wallets saying, how much more do you need? How much more do you need? So I guess the final word is a dad and his daughter is probably a little more powerful than a granddad and his grandson. But don't think that has not gone unnoticed. And it is going in my report. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Stand with me, if you will, as I read this one verse to us. If you're visiting with us today, we're on a journey through Hebrews, and we're right now in chapter 11, which is called the faith chapter. It's called the faith chapter because there's so many different illustrations of people in the Bible whose lives illustrate what true faith is. And if you've really been wanting to learn as a Christian, what does it mean to have faith and to grow in faith? then by just simply walking through these illustrations, you should take it home with you. It's like walking through the burr patch. You get through it and you don't know, but everything's stuck to your socks and your clothes and you didn't even know it. Well, that's what this can do for you if you'll listen and think about these illustrations of faith. Verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful, that is God, who had promised. Lord, we ask for your help as we think about Sarah, as we look at her life, as we see what an example her life is for us. We do desire, Lord, to grow in faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible for us to be pleasing to you. We know that you yourself said that when you return, you ask this question, will there be faith on the earth? Because times are changing. People's hearts are growing cold. People are leaving the church, not joining the church. And they're stepping away from the truth of Holy Scripture. May it not be so here, Lord. May we be focused and intent on learning how that we could be stronger in our faith, that to be pleasing to you would be our mission and our goal. Help us with that, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have thus far in our study of the book of Hebrews, in starting from verse 1 and following, we've seen the faith of Abel. And we talked about how that his faith was a faith of worship. It was his heart that God recognized. It wasn't just the difference between his sacrifice and that of Cain's sacrifice. It was truly a heart thing. And he gave his heart in his worship. Then secondly, we talked about Enoch. And we talked about how that his faith was in his walk. James Taylor needs to know this, that he's not the original walking man. But Enoch was. And the scripture says that Enoch was found to be pleasing to the Lord. And he simply walked with him. Walking and talking, until one day God says, let's just go home. And he did. Then we talked about the faith of Noah. He was an example of faith's witness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry. He was a man whose life in the building of that ark, all of those years, all of those decades of faithfulness, here was a man found faithful. And then last time we talked about Abraham. Abraham is called a friend of God by God himself. Now it's one thing to be called a friend by someone else and to be said that, well, he is a friend of God, but God himself said this about Abraham. He is an example of faith's sacrifice. Each person here is called on to make a sacrifice. And faith's sacrifice is what Abraham is an example of. He chose a tent. He had the money. He had the support. He had the entourage. He had the servants. He had the cattle. He had everything he needed to build his own city. And yet he kept journeying and traveling because God had not shown him where that city was. He died without having seen it, but knowing that it was there, the city of God. I wonder this morning, what are you willing to give up for God? If he asked you to surrender everything to him, would you? Will you? I wonder how many of us here in this room realize that the only way you can become a true Christian is to surrender it all to him. You don't come halfway. You come fully to the Lord's mercy without anything in your hand, just to receive what he has for you. Well, today we're going to look at Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, I just want to make an early observation here. in Hebrews 11:11. There's only one verse given to Sarah. If you'll do your counting, there are 11 verses referring to Abraham. Now, I guess an observation may be, and I underscore that may be, one of the many differences between men and women, well, maybe this slide might illustrate it better. Man is very, very simple. A woman, she's got all these sensors out there. She doesn't have to be told over and over and over and over and over. But what you ladies don't realize, us as guys, we're real simple. And sometimes you tell us once and, well, it doesn't hit. Well, try telling us about 10 more times. And then if we don't get it, then complain at us. Now, that's somewhat biblical if we make this this here. But that's not really what this sermon is going to be about. Verse 11 only gives us a very small portion of Sarah's life. But it does tell us, first of all, that she had some obstacles in her faith. Just like us, just like you. We all have certain things, hills that we have to climb, hurdles that we have to jump, things that we are being tested and tried to get past. In verse 11 it says, she received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. The proper time of life. What that means is basically that you go back to the Old Testament and you realize she was barren. She didn't have the ability to have children. It wasn't only that she was too old, but God had not allowed her womb to be open to receive a child. We learn that about her just from this verse. It just wasn't, up to that point, His plan for her. But secondly, in verse 11, we learn something else. It says, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Here we see that this woman rested in the promise of God. Now, how did she learn how to rest in God? Surely things happened in her life to allow her to trust God completely, because she sure didn't start out that way. Well, in order to see this, we must go back to the Old Testament. And I want us to go back to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 18, we read the story. And this is a fascinating account. And you will enjoy, if it's been a while since you've read this, you will enjoy this as we walk through it. Let me read first few verses for us. Genesis chapter 18. Now the Lord appeared to him, that is Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. And notice what he did. He bowed himself to the earth. This word bowed, shaka, is the first time, I believe, in the Old Testament that the word for worship is used. This is a picture of this man. It tells us that Abraham knew that this just wasn't three strangers. But there was something very, very royal about these men. He goes out. He bows himself to the earth. And he said, and here's where we can kind of prove that point, that they seem to be deity to him. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Remember, it's the heat of the day. It's lunchtime. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, and how many of them were there? Three of them. And they said, so do as you have said. So Abraham, and here's where Sarah enters the picture. So Abraham turned into the tent to Sarah, hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf. That would be veal. And he gave it to the servant to be hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk. Been up to Wisconsin lately, anybody here? And get some cheese curds? And milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Here we have our first illustration here of a little bit about Sarah. The point I want to make to you out of these verses, verse 6 and following, is that Sarah had faith in her husband. We know that she had faith in him because he had left their home and taken all their possessions to go to where? He wasn't told. He just said to his wife, Sarah, pack up all your belongings, get everybody, our whole house, let's go. Well, where are we going? Well, I don't know. How many of you ladies would respond with trust and faith with that type of thing? You want details, right? Where are we going? How long is it going to take to get there? And when we get there, what does it look like? Well, Sarah had to have faith in her husband. She was indeed a team player. Now let me show you how this illustrates here. Verse 6. This is what Abraham said to Sarah. Quickly, prepare 3 measures of fine flour. He told her how much to prepare. Knead it and make bread cakes. He told her how to make it. And he told her what to make. How many women do you know who would have said, you want what and you want it when? You know, if I go into our kitchen and I start telling Connie how to make something that she makes, I'm not quite sure that I would be received very well. Well, maybe I would, but I just want you to see here, she was very responsive to her husband. We know she had a strong faith in her husband. She was willing to follow him wherever he went. But the other thing that I want to show you here, though she had a strong faith in her husband, she had a weak faith in God. Look at the next few verses. He took the curds of milk and the calf which he'd prepared, placed it before him, and as he was standing by there under the tree, they ate. Matthew Smith, they ate veal. And God loves veal. And he ate what was prepared for him. And we believe here, most scholars that I've read believe that two of these men were angels. Two angels that is soon going to leave and go to Sodom. And you can read further on in this passage in Genesis and see what happened in the city of Sodom when these angels come to Lot's house. But the third one was called the Lord. Most people believe that this was Jesus Christ incarnate, in pre-incarnate. This was before Jesus took on a body, before he took on flesh. But here in this theophany, here in this presentation here of God, that's what most people believe this to be. Well, it says that as he took those things to them, they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. A little bit of Eastern hospitality would tell us that men and women oftentimes ate separately. It's still that way in many places of the world. And so it wasn't uncommon for her not to be there. But they're asking where she is. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. And Sarah, can you imagine this, ladies? She was eavesdropping. She was listening through the tent wall. She wanted to know what those guys were talking about. And she didn't know that God was in the next room. Well, Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was, it should have said, a lot past childbearing. And here it is. Sarah overheard God telling Abraham, in a year they're coming back and Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I've become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Here she thinks that God is not listening. But beloved, He hears us. He knows. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm old? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. I love this. It's an illustration of, though she had strong faith in her husband, she had really weak faith in this point of her life in God. Her laughter gives it away. The fact that she denies that she heard, and then God calls her hand on it here, and through Abraham, he said, you laughed. And she says, no, I didn't. And he said, yes, you did, a little bit. But you laughed. You laughed. And so here we have something interesting, because I remember something else that happened with a couple who were advanced in age, who were told by the angel of God, Gabriel, that they were going to have a child. And this man disbelieved it and said, okay, I'm going to need a sign. And so God said through that angel, well, okay, if you really need a sign, I'll give you a sign, Zacharias. For the period of this gestation, you will not have the ability to speak. And so he went some 9 months without being able to talk. So I'm sure you're questioning and thinking, as I did in my study this week, why would God do this to a man and not to a woman? And there is a Bible verse that explains it to us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God will not put on us anything more than we're able to bear. You can do the rest of it for yourself. Well, you might be thinking, how does this measure up to Hebrews 11:11, which says that this woman believed in God? And she put her hope and promise in God. What happened? And what I believe happened should happen to each and every person that is a true believer. God wants us to grow in our faith. Look with me in chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. And let me show you a little bit of growth that happened in Sarah's life, where before she didn't believe, but now she does believe. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Beloved, she grew in her trust. So much so that the laughter that she had when she overheard God telling Abraham what was going to happen, and she laughed like, right. Now she's laughing in faith. One is a laughter of unbelief, and the other is a laughter of joy. And you know what the name Isaac means in Hebrew? Laughter. And it's almost like God is teaching us something here, that though we are at a point in time, wherever we are in our faith journey, that we seem to not have the faith to muster. We seem not have the faith to get us where we need to go. God allows us to grow, and we can grow in our faith and accept what God's purpose and plan is. And as an end result, we become an example of faith. She wasn't an example early on, right? She had faith in her husband, but not faith in God. But later, she became an example to all of you women of a woman who had her faith in God. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And just listen to the way Peter talks about this great woman. And her life, what an example before not just women, but anyone. But in this passage, it's specifically addressed to you ladies. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. I know of many women that really need to take this to heart, and they just need to just give this unto the Lord, and not to keep bringing it up again and again and again to their husbands. But let the husband be won by the conduct of the wife as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Ladies, young ladies, you need to know this, that the most beautiful thing that you have or will ever possess that will get a man's attention is not your appearance, it's your heart. And this sweet spirit is absolutely irresistible. I gave you that for free. Just write it down. It's true. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. That's not saying being submissive to men. It's saying being submissive to their own husband. There is a difference. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. I think it's very clear God worked in this woman's life. She grew in her faith. She is now an example for women of every day and every age. John Stott says these words, "Unbelief is not a misfortune to be pitied. It is a sin to be deplored. Its sinfulness lies in the fact that it contradicts the word of the one true God and thus attributes falsehood to Him. Unbelief also leads to other sins. Sarah started with unbelief, and then it led to lying about her laughter." So the real story here, I believe, for Sarah is that while she didn't believe at first, she came to be a true believer in God and followed Him the rest of her days. Not perfectly, but she is an example for us. I don't think she ever got over the words, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Beloved, this demands a response from us. Is there anything too hard in your life that right now you can't say, God, I trust you. God, help my small faith and turn it into the kind of faith that you would be pleased with, so that you can grow and illustrate this faith to your daughter or to your son, to your husband. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here that is not even a believer yet, and you're right at the point of making that decision. Do I trust him, or do I remain where I am? And the Holy Spirit of God cries out to us and says, today, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart as they did in the wilderness. But surrender, say yes, trust God, trust him. The Israelites, as we read about their story, they doubted that God could give them water. He brought it out of a rock. They doubted that God could prepare enough bread for them, and he dropped it from heaven. They denied the fact that God surely couldn't give us any flesh to eat, and he sent them down quail souffle. God provided every single thing. He gave them a safe place. They still doubted because they were lacking in faith. Now, I don't know what your journey is this morning. God may be getting you ready to take you through a situation where you're going to need some help. Listen to the example of Sarah. Allow God to work in your heart. Allow him to build trust in your life, so that when that time comes, and if it does, you will be ready to meet it and give glory to God. Some people get the rug, it seems, taken right out from under them because they weren't walking in faith in the first place. But how much better right now to be trusting God and walking in faith? And when something happens, instead of saying, oh God, why me? We would say, okay God, what's next? And what's my response? And how can I, through this trial, through this temptation, through this struggle, through this sorrow, how can my faith show my trust in you? That's the illustration of all of these people of faith. I think now is the time for us to be people of faith, don't you? The world that we live in, the news that we hear, everything that's before us. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're a person of faith, have you yet surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your heart? Why not you make this step? Some of you ladies, take this step like Sarah did. Everyone has to take that step of full surrender at some point if you're going to become a Christian, a true one. So in the quietness of these moments, as you hear this music, I want you to pray. Ask God to help your weak faith. Help him to give you the courage to name his name and to follow him and to be known as a Christian. And for some of the rest of us, God might be speaking to you about something that you've been fearful of, that you've not surrendered, and he may want you today to find a victory in your faith. To say, Lord, I've been sinning against you, for unbelief is sin. And I call it out for what it is today, and I claim your promise that no matter what happens, I will trust you. Can you do that? Can you think those things through as we prayerfully seek God this morning?